are listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
When Jesus had finished his parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
I'm from Reno. Born and raised here, went to high school here. When I was a kid, I was a part of this church. When this church was being built, I participated, which explains some of the issues we've had over the years needing to fix stuff. But you know, I was a 14-year-old kid with a... Would you be able to grab him? Thanks. Appreciate it. I was a 14-year-old kid in charge of taping and mudding walls. I had never taped and mudded before, but you know what they needed? They needed a warm body. And so I got to participate with that. The problem about growing up in a church is people remember you when you were just little Louie. My dad's name was Big Louie. Now I'm about 2 inches taller than my dad. Who's Big Louie now? Anyway, I was just little Louie. And I'd grown up in the church and I was known and people just kind of knew who I was. I moved away with my parents in 1987 to help start a church in Carson City. And then 13 years later, at the age of 30, I was invited with my wife to come back up here and pastor the church that I had been a part of as a kid. And I had many conversations with people. They thought, "This is going to be grand. This is going to be really great because we know you." You know what they knew? They knew little Louie. And I can remember, there's a few of you who are here in this room who were there in that service. God bless you. Thank you for your perseverance and your great patience with me as I've grown as a person, as a pastor. But I can tell you, I had a conversation with a guy. And it was one of those really awkward moments where I had to, like, correct him. It needed to happen. And he said, "I'm 40 years old. I could be your grandfather." And I said, "I know, but it doesn't change the fact that I have to correct you on this particular thing. It's done in private and everything." And he was so, I can't believe. I know your family. I know where they came from. I can't believe you would do this. I'm thinking, you know what? This is one of the hardest things I've ever done, going to especially an older person who I've looked up to and respected my whole stinking life, and having to say, you know what? We don't want to act that way because we're not a Kiwanis Club. We're open to anybody who comes, not just the few, the proud, the Marines. Although we like our Marines. And there was a point of, I just can't believe you would do that. I can't believe you say that. In an incredibly small way, it reminds me of what Jesus faced as he goes into a synagogue. And he declares, "Hey, everybody, guess what? You know how we've been waiting for thousands of years for this prophecy about Isaiah, where he said, 'The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and I'm here to preach the good news. I'm going to see the captive set free.'" And he said, "Guess what, guys? It's me. It's the Messiah right here." And he sits down. And I'm like, "Dude, I changed your diapers. I changed your diapers. Your mom's right there. How can you say you're the Messiah?" And they were so offended, and they actually took him out onto a hill, and they wanted to throw him off the hill. But they didn't succeed. There's something that happens when people get offended, when God presents something in a way that does not make sense or does not fit our world. You think how things are supposed to look. See, they said the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. Well, Jesus came from Bethlehem by way of Egypt, by way of Nazareth. He just didn't make a big deal about, "Hey, look at me, everybody." Just in this particular moment, he's like, "This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Now is the time for me to declare the message of the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand." The thing that is the worst part of this for me is looking at what Jesus was doing in other parts of Israel at this time. He's going places and the dead are rising from the dead, coming back to life. The blind are seeing. The deaf can hear. People who are oppressed with evil spirits are delivered. Yet because people were offended that Jesus would come and say, "This is fulfilled in your midst," he said he could only do a few miracles there because of their what? Their unbelief. Offense causes us to not believe, because it puts us in a spot where we're in a frame of mind that I know what's right, I know what's wrong, and I've been wronged here, and I'm not going to be taken advantage of here. To live on purpose and refuse to be offended is to be able to say, maybe God's got a few things up his sleeve that I don't fully understand. And maybe when he's going to work in my life, he's going to work in ways and in areas that I didn't see coming. It'd be very easy if we could say the area of biggest need in our life is what he would touch. When I can remember last August, Joni and I were praying for our grandson, Owen, who was not on the earth yet. Well, he was on the earth, but he wasn't like out playing and whatnot. And while we're praying for him and for his physical body to be touched, God healed my shoulder. And it had like 30 years of chronic pain and hurt. And I'm thinking, this is really great. But God, I've got a list of other things. I would like you to answer those prayers first. But God answered the one saying, I'm going to cause this great pain that's been a part of your life to be gone. Will you grab my coffee off my desk? I'll measure, don't worry. In looking at this, I don't want us, in the fact that we know Jesus, to miss the new things he's going to do in our life or wants to do in our life. The familiarity of the years we've had with him, to miss that he actually wants to do something good that doesn't make sense in how things are supposed to look. Let's take a look at Matthew 11, 1 through 15.
He, Jesus, went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the one Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least is the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Was John the Baptist. And he was sent to declare that Jesus was coming. The Messiah is on his way. He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." If you remember his message, he said he's going to be declaring the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's going to bring his winnowing fork with him. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and there's going to be judgment and fire and all this other stuff. And it comes to a point when down the road, Jesus, is, the message of the gospel that's going out is one of good news. And there's going to come a time for judgment, and there's going to come a time for the separation and all that stuff that happens. John was so focused on this is what Jesus is going to do, that when he's healing the sick and he's raising the dead, he's casting out demons, he's bringing sight to the blind, he's bringing restoration to families. John sends his disciples and says, go ask Jesus this question. Are you the Messiah, or are you sending someone else? Because I'm looking at what you're doing, and that doesn't look Messiah-like to me. And so Jesus says to the disciples, take a look at what you're seeing, go report to John. Tell him what you've seen. And he makes a comment, blessed is the one who's not offended because of me. I never saw John the Baptist as being offended. But as I'm looking through this, he's in prison at this time, John the Baptist is. He's lost everything. He's getting ready to be killed because he took a stand of declaration of judgment against King Herod for taking his brother's wife and killing his brother. It's bad. And he's in there and he's waiting, you know, at least my life was going to be worth something. I prepared the way of the Lord. And now there's no heads rolling. There's no overthrowing of the Romans. All I see is you're going around and you're spending time with a lot of the people who are inconsequential according to our modern society. They're the ones you're meeting felt needs. How about we bring justice? Fire. And really, this is John. He's a voice in the wilderness declaring, prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus is playing with kids. He is. Are you the guy? Or are you like his, you know, kind of impish big brother who's going to come and be the touchy-feely guy? When's the guy coming? And Jesus says, you're missing it, John. This is what I came to do. He says, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. When I look at that, I can think John was a miracle baby, miraculous life, blessed by God. And in the middle of all of that, God didn't work in the way he thought he was supposed to work. So John got ticked. He's doubting and in fear. Being offended when God doesn't fit our mold puts us in a spot where we can't even recognize the kingdom of God is at hand. I can only imagine when Jesus was talking to people, he was never harsh. He was never condescending. He was never negative. But I can only imagine as he's telling the disciples, you think there might be somebody else coming. Tell John what you see. This is Jimmy. He was dead yesterday. Now he's alive. Then there's Daniel here. He was blind. Now he can see. The lame guy over there, he couldn't walk. Now he can walk. Tell him this is happening. I'm doing the stuff. Well, you're not calling down fire. We can get such an agenda about how we think God's supposed to do stuff, we miss what he is doing. He is always at work. Always. In our lives, he's working. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, but he's always at work. This last section, it's the religious people that get offended. We can be more comfortable with these guys. Family and a great man who declared the way of the Lord, we can say, you know, those are tough. But the religious leaders, of course, they're going to get offended, right? They were the teachers of the law. Their main role was to interpret the 613 commandments. The interpretation was called the Midrash. And they would teach people not just here's what the letter of the law says, but here's what it actually means. And what happens if you have two laws that are in opposition to each other? Where it says, you shall do no work on the Sabbath. If you do, you're going to be punished. And it says, if you have a donkey that falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, get it out. And there are people on both sides that says, well, the Sabbath law is above all other laws. We must never break it. It says, but what about our donkeys? And so they'd get the rabbis would say, okay, this is how we're going to live this. This is what we're going to do. Along the way, as religious people are wont to do, they began to add little embellishments onto the commandments. And they began to say things that, I'd always did this. My grandfather always did this. And so we're just, you know, we're supposed to do these commandments, but, you know, this is really important too. And there came a point where the traditions of men got elevated in some people's eyes to the commandments of God. And there's one particular tradition, I don't know where it came from, but if you're a Marx Brothers fan, anybody ever seen a Marx Brothers movie where Groucho is playing a doctor and he keeps washing his hands incessantly? Keep that in mind with this next passage of scripture that Matt reads, Matthew 15.
And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not that what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.
So what Jesus is referring to is the Pharisees came to him and said, your disciples don't wash their hands right. Excuse me? Yeah, why don't your disciples follow our tradition? It's this ritual washing of hands over and over and over again. We wash the bowls. We do a little blessing here. They just sat down and ate out of defiled hands. And Jesus is like, you got to be kidding me. Okay, let me ask you a question. How come you take a commandment of God, which is honor your father and mother, and take that and say, our tradition has been anything I would have given to my parents, you know, parents, now that you're older, anything I would have given to you in your older age, I'm going to give it to God. It's a gift to him. So I'm not going to actually care about the honoring part. Jesus says, how can you get off canceling out a commandment for your tradition? And I can only imagine the Pharisees like, those type of things. He says, you're so worried about what's going into your mouth and what you're eating and how you're eating it. He says, don't you know it's not what goes in that causes you to be sin, causes you to sin? It's what comes out. It's our actions. It's our words. They were so focused on, we want to live a pure and holy life. The Pharisees had an incredible devotion to living piously, to living very strict religious observance, because they believed if they did this correctly, then they would bring about a revival in Israel. But they were so focused on the outside that they threw away one of the commandments so that they could say, it's going to be expensive to care for my parents in their older age. And so I'm not supposed to honor them. I got an idea. I'm giving that gift to the Lord. And he's given it to me to steward for him. Yeah. Makes perfect sense to me. What do you guys think? Yeah, that's great. That's good. Let's do it. And Jesus, as he does, he says, oh, how's that working for you? You're killing me. And he leans over his disciples and makes the comment, it's not what comes out. Or what goes in, it's what comes out. Out of the mouth, out of the life, you end up with murder and evil thoughts and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, all these things. Why don't you guys get concerned with that kind of stuff? The stuff that is actually threatening your relationship with God. And they're offended at him. The disciples are like, you made the religious guys mad. The people who had the most amount of power within the Jewish state at this time were King Herod and then the Sanhedrin, or the religious leaders. You didn't want to make them angry. It was like 70 Incredible Hulks, because they could drag you before a magistrate. They could have you beaten. They could, it's terrible. And it's like, you made them mad. Yeah. Well, Jesus throws out, every plant not planted by the Father is going to get torn up. These guys are a bunch of blind guides. Guess where they're going to end up? In a ditch somewhere. If you have ears to hear, better listen. It's like, for us to look back on each of these three particular areas of offense where the family was offended, John the Baptist was offended, the religious leaders were offended. We see three similar cases. Number one, with the hometown. We know Jesus. We know who he is. We know what he's doing. We know where he's been. So as he's telling me, actually, this is where I'm going. This is what I've done. This is my next phase of life. They end up missing it because he does something outside of their expectation. With John the Baptist, he says he's the Christ. And because he's the Christ, I know what he's going to do. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be fire. And misses the entire good news and the life that Jesus is bringing. And with the Pharisees, they were really proud of their external observance of the law. That people would look up to them and say, man, that guy's so holy. I wish I could be holy like that. They'd walk through places and they'd have criers go before them and say, make way for so-and-so. And they'd come through with their big robes and big hats. And they would have these, what's called tephilim, which was a miniature box to hold scriptures on their foreheads and on their wrists. And sometimes they'd make these really big ones. And so the bigger box you had, the more religious and spiritual you are. And everywhere they're going, it's make way, make way. These guys were known for going into the temple and they'd pray prayers like, Father, thank you for not making me a Samaritan or a sinner like those tax collectors, for making me who I am. Dead serious. And God says, you know what? That makes me barf. It makes me throw up. So to approach the Lord, he says, it's better to come like the tax collector who fell on his face, wouldn't even look his eyes up to heaven, saying, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. The one who goes home justified is not the one who justifies himself. It's the one who recognizes our great need for God. Offense removes our need for God. It puts us in a spot of self-dependence, self-reliance, and judgment. Because ultimately, once we've taken on that offense, we are passing judgment on those we are offended by. So what are we supposed to do with this? This may be oversimplistic, but Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is probably the best explanation on how we can avoid being offended. So, Matt.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I live in this body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
You cannot be offended if you are dead. You cannot. Paul states something here that Jesus had stated in Luke chapter 9. If anyone wants to come after me, they lay aside their selfish ambition, take up their cross daily and follow me. If you want to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. To live on purpose, and to live refusing to be offended, it puts us in a spot where God can and will do the miraculous things through and in and around our lives. It's recognizing I gave up my right to be offended when I chose to identify with the cross of Jesus. Because if we're looking for areas to be offended in, we will find them on a daily basis. If you're not tempted to be offended, you're not paying attention. It's there. But for us to be able to know, to be crucified with Christ is to recognize when we say Lord and Master, those aren't just like fancy titles because you know, he's Savior and Lord. He's our Master. Those are a title of ownership. We have been purchased. It's uncomfortable language because slavery is bad. In this situation, we hear slave, you can be a slave to sin, or you can be a slave to righteousness. You can be a slave to your flesh and to our world, or you can be a slave to Christ. Over and over, Paul identifies himself as doulos, a bond servant of Christ, one who has chosen to lay aside his own rights to take up the cause of Christ. So we look at Paul and how did he live his life the way he did, and where he took a licking and kept on ticking. You find where he was beaten with rods 5 different times with the 39 stripes. He was shipwrecked day and night. He was in jail for years and years. And over again, he stayed on his mission because he did not allow what was being done to him sidetrack him from what God had called him to do. And because he did not get sidetracked, God was able to work miracles that ended up causing us to be blessed today. My hope for every single one of us is that we would grab a hold of the scripture that says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We don't have to be vindictive anymore. We don't have to be easily offended. We don't have to rise up and get wild and crazy in our anger. We don't have to follow according to the patterns of our family's past, because when we become Christians, we have a new bloodline in Christ. And over again, that's what we say, in Christ, I choose Christ. In Christ, I choose life. In Christ, I lay down a fence. In Christ, I choose his message, not mine, not my purposes, his. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're good. I would ask that you would apply the words that were said today and the scriptures that were read to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, would talk to us. You'd reveal areas in our lives where we have held on to offense, where it's colored our life, where it's maimed us, where it's kept us from being able to grow. It's kept us bound. I pray that you would show us how to shake off those offenses, to lay them down, and instead to take up your cross, to lay aside our selfish ambition, to follow you. Lord, it's a simple thing to say, but it's a lifetime to do it. May we not be offended, and may we see your miraculous works in us, and in our lives, and the lives of people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.